cheer erupts from inside the house. Beth kisses me and tells me that it's going to be a good year. Moon emerges from the side door and hands me a vodka and orange. I down it, shudder at the unexpected strength, and kiss Beth again. Moon claps his hands together and says, "Happy New Year. We'll give you two a moment alone." We kiss a timeless kiss, and I take a mental snapshot of Beth under the streetlight. I feel amazing, approaching some kind of happiness beyond mere satisfaction of my teenage ego. A fortnight ago, I would have sold my soul for a girlfriend as gorgeous as Beth. But that's the nature of sex deprivation. Once it ends, so do your sympathies with your former horny self. You find yourself craving the next level. Moon coughs politely. "That was quick," says Beth, wiping her mouth. "I've been 10 minutes, he says. "I got off with Natalie." "Nice one," I tell him. "Was it a drunk thing or did you get anywhere?" "I'm not sure. Her parents picked her up before we could talk much. The party's dead. But I got this." He reaches into the inside pocket of his coat and retrieves a half-full, half-bottle of Smirnoff. My favourite. I take a swig and pass it to Beth. She takes a feminine sip before slapping me on the shoulder and sputtering for a while. "Fucking hell." "Sorry, sweetheart, that's how we party in Frinton-on-Sea," I reply. This seems to displease Moon, who casts bitter glances at a couple of departing guests, who clamber uneasily into the cars of waiting parents. "Well, you'd better get me home before my dad sends out a search party," says Beth. We all turn on our heels and shuffle away. "What now?" says Moon. "Well, the night is young, and we're in Frinton, inside the gates no less." After walking Beth home, we head to the Horse and Hounds. No customers remain, and the staff are clearing up. "You've got time for one drink," the barman informs us coldly, "if you're quick." We order a bud each and take them to a corner table. The floors and surfaces are covered in streamers and party hats. I realise that Moon is still wearing one, and tell him. "So are you," he says. I feel at my head and remove the red plastic bowler, feeling a twinge of sadness as I make the appropriate adjustments to the memory of Beth and I under the streetlight. "Looks like we missed quite a party," says Moon. "Was it better than Penelope's, do you think?" I inhale through my teeth and make a doubtful face. "I don't know, it's going to be hard to beat that. Should we go back next year?" "If I start the millennium inside the gates of Frinton, please kill me," says Moon. "Yeah, well, I don't think it'll come to that. We'll be at uni by then. Who knows where we'll end up?" "I'll drink to that," says Moon, before realising that his bottle's already empty. He turns to the barman. "If I sweep up all these streamers," he says, "will you sell us 2 more beers? "Out," says the barman. We get outside, where Moon hands me the vodka and fumbles in his trousers, retrieving a Carlsberg beer towel which he brandishes proudly. "Congratulations." "I wanted an ashtray," he says, but the barman had his eye on me. "Well, where now?" "Train station," says Moon, striding off purposefully. I sigh and set off after him. Moon hops down onto the train track and I feel a twinge of terror, which I put down to the educational video I was shown 5 years ago about the perils of playing on railway lines. I'd had to leave the room, and to this day I can't pass through level crossings without experiencing a rush of nausea. Moon takes another glug of vodka, exhales deeply, and stares about his surroundings. His gaze eventually settles on the track heading down towards Warton-on-Sea, its final destination. I can tell he is thinking about Renton's anti-Scotland rant and train spotting, and that Moon is trying to summon an epic soliloquy of his own. Instead, he sings the Blur lyrics about Tracy Jacks taking the train down to Warton and running around naked on the beach. After a thoughtful pause, he asks me what my New Year's resolutions are. "I don't know," I reply, "but we should make some. Look at where we are. I don't think much is going to happen unless we make it." "I'll drink to that," says Moon, downing more vodka. I drink some more too, but it makes an immediate reappearance. Moon takes a photo of this, then another one of me looking bitterly up at him. It's a strange time to be making any kind of plans. We've all turned 18 by now, but for 2 more terms we remain in limbo as adult school children. Meanwhile, it's the first day of the last year of the millennium. The end of the beginning and the beginning of the end. As we stumble towards the station's exit, Moon fumbles in his pocket for a coin and uses it to obtain a permit to travel from the machine at the entrance. "Date stamped," he says. 1st of the 1st, 99.